Think about the last time you had to cancel a subscription. There's probably some waiting on hold, some guessing at your password, some mind-numbing small talk, and maybe after all that, you still weren't able to cancel it. Good news, it doesn't have to be this way. Thanks to Rocket Money. Rocket Money tracks, manages, and can cancel your subscriptions for you. When you connect your accounts, you'll see a complete picture of all your reoccurring subscriptions all in one place. Rocket Money organizes your subscriptions by due date and notifies you when something's coming up, so you'll never be caught off guard when you get charged. If you see a subscription you want to cancel, Rocket Money simplifies the process. Instead of waiting on hold for an hour, you can cancel it right from the app. Rocket Money will even try to get you a refund for the money you spent on subscriptions you forgot about. Stop wasting your time trying to cancel subscriptions the hard way. Make your life easier and go to rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. Or download the app from the Apple app or Google Play stores.
From the number one sports site in the world.
Big names. Bold interviews. Beyond the X's and O's.
Welcome to the fastest 2 hours in radio.
On Yahoo Sports Radio.
And yahoosportsradio.com.
This is the Big E Sports Show.
With the one and only, the triple threat, the Big E.
Melissa Walker-Campbell. The 6 foot former Sooner women's basketball player.
She can post, pin, and produce with some of today and yesterday's biggest stars.
Alyssa Walker-Campbell delivers sports the way you want it. Get ready to go beyond the X's and O's
with today's star athletes, coaches, and sports figures.
This is the Big E Sports Show
right now.
Now from the Quicken Loans studios of Yahoo Sports Radio.
Are you ready?
Quicken Loans, engineered to amaze.
Here she is, the one and only, the Big E, Alyssa Walker-Campbell.
Alyssa Walker-Campbell, welcome back to the fastest 2 hours in radio right here at Yahoo Sports Radio, the Big E Sports Show. And before we get underway in hour number two, all of our listeners, you guys challenged us for a better mobile app, and we have responded with the all-new Yahoo Sports Radio app available now for your iOS or Android device. Just search Yahoo Sports Radio in Google Play or the App Store and download the new app from Gal Media. And as always, you can stream us live on the go or listen to the podcast at your convenience, all from one app. We're delighted to welcome back in to studio the Progressive Insurance Studio line, of course, is Andy Pondillo with our YSR. Our weekly MLB news and notes. Good evening, Andy.
Good to be here. An exciting week of baseball so far.
It's been a historic week of baseball. Nationals' Max Scherzer strikes out 20 to tie a record. What was your impressions?
Well, I was, the one thing I looked at is I didn't watch the game, but then I see it fly up on my radar, and I'm like, well, that must have been a shutout. And I look up, he gave up two runs, and he got through the complete game with 20 strikeouts without throwing a ton of pitches. Very impressive regardless. I mean, 20 strikeouts is 20 strikeouts. You see that, maybe once every 15 years, 20 years. I mean, it's very rare to see. We all remember the Kerry Wood game when he did it. This was, you could say classic Max Scherzer, just to a little bit higher of an extent. He's been dominant for a long time now. When he first came up with the Diamondbacks, we wondered if he was just a thrower. He's really learned how to pitch in Detroit. He goes to the Nationals, gets his payday, and now you put him on a team that looks like to be one of the better teams in the National League. It's a good mixture. It's a good place to where maybe he can claim a Cy Young eventually over there in Washington.
And Max Scherzer, I mean, he overwhelms his former team, the Tigers. I mean, how cool was that?
Well, it's got to be awesome for him. He never was really the guy in Detroit. Even though he put up fabulous seasons over there, this was Justin Verlander's rotation. It was David Price's rotation when he came aboard. Scherzer, he, in my opinion, you have Steven Strasburg over there in Washington. It's a formidable one, too. But Scherzer's the guy right now when it comes to that team. They pay him for it. He's definitely responded. He pitches the no-hitter last year. This team, with those two pitchers, they keep throwing the way they are. The ceiling's easily the World Series.
So let's transition. We've been talking about Max. Let's talk about the Astros. 6-4 on the recent homestand. They're coming back to life. They're being resuscitated.
Yeah, the starting pitching is where it all starts with. There's been quality start after quality start after quality start. We talked about these guys all struggling as pretty much an entire rotation. And for whatever reason, when the light switch flipped, it flipped with every pitcher. So right now, we're starting to see the type of game that they played last year. They weren't an electric pitching staff. They weren't running out Max Scherzer. They weren't running out Steven Strasburg, as we discussed back-to-back. They did have Dallas Keuchel, but what they do have is depth. They don't have a guy at the bottom of the rotation who just gets beat up, or a rotating guy, or, you know, just a lot of the problems teams have during the year, those 4 and 5 holes trying to figure out how to fill them. The Astros have 6 starters right now for only 5 positions. Actually, you could say 7 starters for 5 positions. They have depth. They don't necessarily have the gunners. They have the depth, and that's going to give them a chance to win. Really, the big question now is, when is this offense going to completely come around, or is this offense that has struggled at times this year, is this what they are this season? I think it's too early in May to really be able to tell.
Well, Andy, you're right. I mean, the Astros have depth, but they're showing a variation in ways to win, with the top of the order already getting locked in.
Yeah, order's locked in now. Altuve is going crazy. Springer, he could be a little better than he is right now, but he's still been very productive at drawing the walks. He hits for the power, of course. He drew 4 walks in that 16-inning game they played. So this guy is a guy that's very instrumental to the lineup. A lot of people with Carlos Correa were asking, what happened to Carlos Correa? And I told them, he's 21 years old. That's what happened. He's 21 years old. He's going to struggle. We've seen him kind of come out of it now. We've seen him driving the ball the other way. And really, teams have the book on these guys, yet this top three in the order are the type that can put up 1, 2, 3 runs in a hurry. And when you have that quick strike ability, you don't depend on 12 hits a game to be able to score runs. It hasn't all come about yet for the Astros, but there's a lot of promising signs as they get on this long road trip now.
They are headed in the right direction. Our very own Andy Pondillo back with us in studio, the Quicken Loans Studios at YSR, the Big E Sports Show. Reach out and connect with our audience.
That's going to be AstroChat at ESPN975.com.
Okay, so here it is Friday night. Lance McCullers, his return. Is this going to force somebody out of rotation?
It's going to have to. Looks like what AJ Hinch is going to do. He's going to go 6-man at first, so everyone's just going to get an extra day off when McCullers comes into the rotation. Gives everyone another start to see who should remain, who should go. In the competition, it's been good. Yeah, we've seen Mike Fiers, who looked like a guy that was on his way out of the rotation, pitch very effectively in his last 2 starts. The youngster, Chris Devinsky, he comes out of nowhere. He's been just as good as any pitcher you're going to find recently in the American League in his last 3 starts. So these guys are probably the guys on the bubble. I'm starting to think that Devinsky will probably get bumped to the bullpen because he's, you know, a guy that's young, a guy that can probably slot in a little better as a relief pitcher with his nasty stuff. And Fiers is a guy, maybe not as electric as Devinsky, but a guy that you can trust to get you 175 to 190 innings, which is important when you talk about the domino rally of the starting rotation and the bullpen. You need these guys to get innings. So if Fiers is back, if Fiers is that 350, 370 ERA that gets you those innings type of guy at the bottom of the rotation, I look for him to probably stick around. And Devinsky doesn't mean he won't start again for the Astros, but it just means that he's probably going to be in the bullpen for the time being.
You know, Andy, I have to wonder, too, if the competition within the rotation has elevated and taken these guys to a whole new level in terms of with their focus.
I think it has. I mean, when you know your job's on the line, sometimes you might have to just dig a little deeper. It's not to say they don't dig deep every day. I think sometimes, though, when you put your back against the wall, players react differently. Sometimes they get a little more loose. They, you know, it's like, well, you know, this is going to be it right here, and you put everything on the table, and you know, maybe you just key in a little more. Maybe that's what Fiers did. Devinsky, in his case, he was playing with house money. He's a late-round pick that makes it all the way to the major leagues. He's in the bullpen because of an injury to start the year. He makes it to the rotation because rotation's ineffective. Nobody saw this coming. He's taken this opportunity as good as I've ever seen a young player take advantage of an opportunity. The big thing with him, again, is can he get the amount of innings the Astros are going to need out of a starter? Anytime you bring up a young pitcher, you do wonder that. Even with McCullers in his second year, he's not a horse that you're going to drag through 200 innings this year. So you're always kind of careful to put too many young guys in a starting 5-man because of the domino effect it'll have on that bullpen.
Okay, so let's transition from the pitching in the bullpen to talking about, you had mentioned Jose Altuve. He is truly hitting for incredible power. And he's, what, in the top 5 in virtually every category offensively. I mean, what's been the biggest change to his game?
Well, he always makes some sort of adjustment every season. I remember the rap on him when he first came to the big leagues is he was a bad defensive player that could hit a little bit. Then it became he's just a singles hitter. Then it became that he hits for a high average, but he doesn't draw any walks. You look at him through the course of his career, it seems like every year he comes back with something new to his arsenal. Last year it was the power. We've seen him hit 15 home runs. He didn't hit home runs like this. This year the difference is there aren't Crawford box home runs. He's not taking advantage of his home stadium anymore like he was last year. He's just taking advantage of hitting, period. He's hitting home runs to right field. He's hitting balls deep to center. He's going to right center. He's taking pitches. His pitch selection is getting almost Lance Berkman-like out of nowhere.
Wow.
And he's seeing a lot of pitches up there, and he's driving the ball. The big thing I say about him is we always kind of look at Altuve as this fun little guy who made it to the majors and a scrap hitter, right, winning batting titles, and it's fun. He's elevated now beyond that to just where he is one of the best players in all of baseball. People like to forget that because you got Carlos Correa over here, you got George Springer, you got these big boppers, you think of them as the power guys. Altuve is the heart and soul of this team. Altuve will be the main reason if the Astros go to the playoffs, win the World Series, anything of that nature. Everything seems like it's going to go through him at the top of the order. He's now a guy that's been in the league long enough, and he's made the adjustments. It's really exciting to see.
Only got about 30 seconds. So going forward, the Astros, are they all the way back? I mean, what do they need to do to adjust going forward?
Not all the way back. Their offense still is a little bit troublesome to me compared to what we've seen last year. The top of the order is fantastic. Bottom of the order, middle of the order, they've got a lot of adjustments to make. And I know Hinch has stressed that quite a bit. Carlos Gomez is the ultimate key.
Another outstanding update, MLB News and Notes with our very own Andy Pondillo. You want to stick around? We've got a book review coming your way right after this quick timeout.
You're listening to the Big E Sports Show on Yahoo Sports Radio. Once again, the host of the fastest 2 hours in radio, here's Alyssa Walker-Campbell. The Big E.
Alyssa Walker-Campbell, welcome back to Yahoo Sports Radio, the Big E Sports Show, on this Friday night. We always dedicate a portion of our program to book reviews, and tonight we have several. One in particular I'm very excited to present to our audience. Duncan Hamilton is an award-winning sports writer and author who has twice won the foremost sports writing prize in the UK. It is called the William Hill and has been nominated for an additional 3 times. He is the author of several books, including his latest release, and I highly encourage you to go out and get a copy of it. It is titled For the Glory, Eric Liddell's Journey from Olympic Champion to Modern Martyr. Good evening, Duncan. It's such an honor to have you with us right here at Yahoo Sports Radio.
Oh, thank you so much.
Well, before we share the story, Eric Liddell's journey, we'd like to hear the backstory. In 1981, the film Chariots of Fire won 4 Oscars, including Best Picture. The film had incredible success. Its sweeping instrumental theme song went on to become synonymous with Olympic glory. And a little did you know for all of our listeners tonight, it was even played when Steve Jobs introduced the first Macintosh computer in 1984. So we fast forward 35 years later. Tell us, what was your goal with this book, and what did you hope to accomplish?
Well, I think actually that my relationship with Eric probably started in the mid-1970s. My father was Scottish, so I actually grew up hearing about Scottish sporting heroes. So I knew a little bit about Eric after shortly before Chariots of Fire came out. Then, of course, I saw the film 2 or 3 times when it was released. And I was always taken by that final shot, which is they simply put up a caption which says that Eric had died in a prisoner of war camp in China in 1945. And obviously, Chariots of Fire couldn't have been any longer, or they would have needed another 3 hours to explain what came next. But that was what really motivated me. And I think that I particularly wanted to impress on people the kind of sacrifices that he made after winning the gold medal in Paris in 1924.
And I would say that some of my takeaways from going through the book so far is that Olympic triumph was only one part of his great story. I mean, it's an epic story of faith and resilience.
Yes, well, I hadn't realized that when the Olympic champions came home in the mid-1920s, that in a commercial sense, you could have earned a very comfortable living. Certainly not as much as the current Olympic champions would, but Eric was offered a considerable amount of money to go on lecture tours, and he could have sat on the boards of banks and building societies, or he could have gone and coached at some of the top universities here. And having looked at all the times from the 1928 games, I think he could have won a second gold had he gone to Amsterdam then. But he'd set his mind on becoming a missionary. His father had been a missionary, and he'd begun in China at the end of the 19th century. He'd lived through the Boxer Rebellion, which was a particularly violent, turbulent time. And from a very early age, probably about 9 years old, Eric decided that he wanted to become a missionary. And that was the path that he set himself on. And even when people were saying to him after the Olympic Games, well, you should really put off your decision for a few years, make some money, carry on running, get yourself a nice position, he said, no, I can't. He said, I think that God is calling me to China, and that's where I'm going.
Well-known author Duncan Hamilton is with us at Yahoo Sports Radio, the Big E Sports Show. He has a compelling new book out that you have got to get a copy, For the Glory, Eric Liddell's Journey from Olympic Champion to Modern Martyr. And you were talking about Eric Liddell in terms of him becoming a missionary after the Olympics. Was it his father that inspired him to become such a devout Christian?
Yes, well, he didn't really know his father terribly well because he was sent to boarding school in England around about 1905, 1906. And so he didn't see his father again for another 10 years. But he was the one person that he kind of wanted to be like. He had such respect for his father, and he particularly wanted to follow him. And missionary work really was the family business. And it was a great joy to him to be able to go over to China in the mid-1920s and be reunited with his family. And I don't think people appreciate really how dangerous China was even when Eric first went. I spent a lot of time going through the newspapers, both in this country and overseas, looking at particular items about missionaries, and at least once or twice every month from about 1925 up to about 1940 you would read about a missionary who had been either kidnapped or had been murdered. And that was because China at that time was going through a particular difficult phase. There was fighting between the Chinese nationalists and the Chinese communists. There were warlords, there were guerrilla fighters, and then, of course, the Japanese came into the country, sparking the second war there. And Eric, going out into the countryside on his bicycle, holding nothing but his Bible, found himself shot at, shelled, held up, held hostage. And I was really conscious of the fact that that he must have been a terribly brave man, simply to kind of do that work every single day.
Who did you interview in terms of when you did your research for this book?
Yeah, well, I was quite worried at first because I thought, goodness, how many people will be left from the kind of camp or the prison camp that he was in? But one person led me to another person, and I was very lucky, really, because the man who was in the next bed to Eric in the camp is still alive. I interviewed him 2 years ago. I think he celebrates his centenary this year.
Wow.
And his wife was actually with Eric reading the Bible with him only 2 hours before he actually died. So, you know, that was a very good start. And then I also spoke to one of the teenagers, probably the main kind of teenager, who was in his 80s when I spoke to him. And he was obviously, I think he was about 16 in the camp. And Eric was like a second father to him. And he talked about the way that he tried to keep morale going inside the camp and the way that he tried to teach them running and how to run properly. And then I also managed to speak to others who had also been teenagers in the camp and who would talk about seeing Eric either digging water holes or toting sacks of flour or kind of giving away his food portions to people he thought were more deserving.
The title of the book is For the Glory, Eric Liddell's Journey from Olympic Champion to Modern Martyr. Well-known writer Duncan Hamilton has been with us tonight right here at YSR, the Big E Sports Show. Congratulations. And, of course, you can go anywhere, Barnes & Noble, Amazon.com, and pick up a copy of the book. Congratulations on that, Duncan. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Jason.
The Big E Sports Show.
You're listening to the Big E Sports Show on Yahoo Sports Radio.
Once again, the host of the fastest 2 hours in radio, here's Alyssa Walker-Campbell.
The Big E.
Alyssa Walker Campbell, welcome back to Yahoo Sports Radio, the Big E Sports Show. We are inside the Quicken Loans studios. And now that the dust has settled, the NFL draft is in the rearview mirror. And in our next segment, we're going to continue a recap of this year's past draft. Ohio State, of course, had the best, and it was impressive. We're thrilled to have back with us Bill Rabinowitz, the beat writer with the Columbus Dispatch. He's usually on during our college football season. We've got him in the offseason. It's good to hear your voice. Hi, Bill.
Hi, Alyssa. How are you?
I'm doing fantastic. Well, let's talk about the Buckeyes. 2016, it was very, very kind. It was a big night in that first round. They set a record with 10 picks in the first three rounds. Is this what you projected?
Pretty much. I actually thought they would have 14 players drafted. They only ended up with 12 because Tyvus Powell and Jalen Marshall were not drafted. I saw Tyvus Powell would definitely be drafted, I thought, mid to late rounds, and I thought Jalen Marshall would go late. Neither one of them went, but they were priority free agents, so they'll have a chance. As far as the first round goes, to have the number three and number four pick, that's pretty impressive. I know Oklahoma had three of the top four a few years ago, but for Ohio State to have Bosa and Elliott go three and four, that's pretty impressive. To have Eli Apple go 10, it's pretty amazing, really.
Bill, how would you rank this draft class compared to others? Is this the best the Buckeyes have produced?
Yeah, it probably is. They had 14 1 year, and then the 2000, I always get my years mixed up. I want to say 2004, they had something similar to this. But I would say the depth of this, to have 12 guys go in the first four rounds is, it's pretty impressive.
Obviously, a lot of curiosity about Ezekiel Elliott. Is Dallas, is this going to be the perfect home for him, the perfect fit in terms of with this system?
He thinks so because Dallas obviously has a very good offensive line. They have other offensive weapons around him. He's not going to be defensive. They're not going to gear around and for strapping him necessarily with Romo and the other guys down there. So I think he feels like it's a perfect fit for him. He kind of lobbied for the Cowboys to pick him. I think that was the place he wanted to go, and with good reason.
And are you anticipating that he will be one of those high-impact rookies in the 2016 season, and that really when we talk about Ezekiel Elliott, that his impact will be felt immediately? What say you?
Yeah, I agree with that. You wouldn't take a running back number four in the draft if you didn't think that he was an every down back, which he is, because he can block, he can catch passes, and obviously he can run. So I think that they feel like he's the guy that they don't have to take off the field. He's tough, he's durable, he can avoid contact, he can run over people, and he's pretty much the full package. So the question with running backs, as it always is, just, you know, what's their career span? He's run the ball a lot the last 2 years at Ohio State, the little tread on the tire argument. He's not been seriously hurt. He had the wrist injury and he's got the nicks and pains that every running back goes through, but he's proven himself to be very durable.
Ohio State football beat writer for the Columbus Dispatch does an amazing job. Bill Rabinowitz is back with us at Yahoo Sports Radio, the Big E Sports Show. Connect with us. We'd love to hear from you. You can join us at Twitter, at eRadio Sports, and you can go back and listen to this interview at podcastarena.com. Click on the YSR tab. Obviously, when we talk about the Ohio State Buckeyes, the Chargers, Ohio State star Joey Bosa, third overall in this year's draft. How do you see him fitting into their system?
It's going to be interesting because San Diego plays the 3-4, and Bosa was projected by most to be a defensive end in a 4-3, but he has enough athleticism that he can play the outside linebacker spot in the 3-4 pass rusher. He can drop back in coverage. He's an athletic guy. And kind of the secret or kind of the bonus that the Chargers got is they drafted Joshua Perry in the fourth round. He is a pure linebacker, and so he'll be able to teach Joey Bosa the ropes a little bit, and I think that'll help both of them. It's an interesting fit. I think I can picture Joey Bosa in San Diego. He's kind of that beach guy, kind of his persona.
Uh-huh.
So I don't have any problem picturing Joey Bosa kind of being a beach bum in San Diego on his time off, that's for sure.
Give us some insight on Cardale Jones. Is he ready for prime time with the Bills?
That's a great question. I did a long story on him before the draft, talked to George Whitfield, the quarterback guru, and I talked to Jimmy Ray, who had personally tutored Cardale, and they both think that this guy is a diamond in the rough, that he has all the ability in the world. It's just a matter of experience, a matter of refining his skills. It'll be interesting to see because Buffalo can be a tough place to play quarterback. You need a strong arm. Well, he definitely has that. It's just a matter of, okay, who's going to tutor him? How much time is he going to have to learn? How patient will the Bills be? And then it's on Cardale. His senior year, his last year at Ohio State, was a disappointment by his own admission. He told me it was below average, too, with the exception of a game or two. He missed some open guys. His footwork kind of was shaky at times. He did not build on what he had done the last three games of 2014. And I think he has a lot to prove. I think that the fact that he can devote himself fully to refining his craft, I think will help him. He's got the physical tools. It's just a matter of, okay, can he put it together on the field?
Bills head coach Rex Ryan said that Cardale Jones is almost in a perfect situation with him being able to develop. Do you agree?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, Rex Ryan is obviously a defensive coach. We'll see who the offensive coaches are that will tutor Cardale.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Again, the NFL is just not known for patience. And if Cardale, I'm not saying he's going to take 2 or 3 years necessarily, or 3 years, maybe two. It's just not a league that preaches patience. And for Cardale to find success, he's a guy who really needs to trust his coaches. He needs to develop a relationship with them. And it took some time at Ohio State to do that, and then he did. To me, that's the whole test, is can they be patient enough with him? And then when it's time to play, can he capitalize on the opportunity?
Well, Cardale Jones, what do you think is going to be the biggest obstacle that he will have to overcome, Bill?
The complexity of the reads, the quick decision-making you have to make, it's got to be boom, boom, boom. That's the way it is in the pros. And it's a very different style than Ohio State ran. I think he can do it. I think he's a very smart guy, much smarter than he let on at times or people perceive him to be. But there's a difference between kind of intelligence and then can you put it on the field? Can you do it in that kind of rat-a-tat-tat that you have to do in the NFL? And a lot of that comes to repetition, just doing it over and over and over. And he's not had the benefit of that at Ohio State. So we'll see. It depends on how many reps they give him in practice. But in terms of the physical skills, it's hard to imagine somebody having more physical skills than Cardale Jones.
Well, Cardale Jones, perhaps he will be that sleeper in the NFL. Give me a hit on Eli Apple.
Yeah, he's a guy who had, like Cardale, for different reasons, a bumpy start to his career. He was diagnosed with an iron deficiency after his redshirt year, and by the end it was so bad that he couldn't outrun a 340-pound defensive tackle. That's when Kerry Combs, the cornerback's coach, said, "You're coming with me," and they went to the doctors, and they figured it out. So it took him longer than people thought to become Eli Apple. He's a physical guy. He's a very young guy. He enrolled at Ohio State at 17. He's a redshirt sophomore last year. So I think he was drafted as much on potential as production. I think there'll be some growing pains because he's a very physical guy, and in the NFL, they'll call that the beyond 5 yards down the field. So he's going to have to learn that. But in terms of size and speed and instincts, and he's a smart guy too. So it'll take some time, but I think he can be a quality NFL corner.
That, of course, was Bill Rabinowitz, Ohio State football beat writer for the Columbus Dispatch, giving a full recap of the 2016 NFL Draft and the Buckeyes. Stick around. We got much more coming your way right here at YSR, the Big E Sports Show. And connect with us at Twitter at eRadioSports and podcastarena.com. You can go back and listen to all of our amazing interviews and all of our guys right here at our network at YSR. Much more coming your way after this break.
Sports Show on Yahoo Sports Radio.
Once again, the host of the fastest 2 hours in radio. Here's Alyssa Walker Campbell,
the Big E.
Alyssa Walker Campbell, welcome back to Yahoo Sports Radio. And the Washington Nationals, they are off to one of baseball's best start, and they have been sensational. In our next segment, we're going to shine the spotlight on them. Author Jake Russell has a brand new book that is out. It is titled 100 Things National Fans Should Know and Do Before They Die. Congratulations on the book, and welcome into our show, Jake.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Okay, so let's take an early look at the Nationals before we dive into the book. They are off to, as I had just mentioned, an impressive start. You know, I think back to last season, they had 83 wins in 2015. Bryce Harper, he has this MVP season. What's your projections for 2016?
I think we'll probably win probably in the high 80s, low 90s. the next couple weeks will provide a real test of where this team's really at, because the first couple weeks of the schedule has been pretty soft, relatively, and the Phillies are playing a lot better than most people anticipated them.
You know, coming into this season, the Nationals, there was a lot of buzz, a lot of hype about them. Do you think they'll live up to it?
It's hard to say, because usually when the higher the expectations, the less they live up to them. So I think this year is a good barometer for them. There weren't that many expectations on them since the Mets did what they did last season. So far, they're exceeding expectations, I think, in terms of record, and they're doing what they need to do. They're taking care of lesser competition.
Hey, Jake Russell is with us tonight at Yahoo Sports Radio, the Big E Sports Show. He's a sports writer and author. We're going to talk about his book here just momentarily, 100 Things National Fans Should Know and Do Before They Die. Of course, Jake teamed up with our good friends at Triumph Books. And as we zero in on the Washington Nationals, I was talking about just all the hype coming into the season. A lot of, I think the expectations are high. I mean, how far could they ultimately go, Jake? I mean, can they make the playoffs?
Oh, they certainly can. It's just all a matter of what the Mets do, and if any of the teams that are seeded, expected to be below them, like the Marlins or the Phillies, decide to surprise everybody and rise up and make a run for it toward the end of the season. The Nats and the Mets, I think, are the best positioned to make the playoffs, and I think it's going to be kind of similar to last year, where it's going to be a two-team race down the stretch.
I want to hear a little bit about, as far as Bryce Harper, the reigning NL MVP. How does he look early in the season? I mean, how much better is he this year?
Strangely enough, his stats are better at this point than they were last year.
Oh, my goodness,
he averages
wow.
about a home run every two games.
Uh-huh.
He already has 24 RBI, and he didn't get that until mid-May last year, and he had to have 10 RBIs in a two-game stretch to get to 25. He's playing very, very well, and he's living up to expectations so far.
Hey, we're going to transition right now. We're going to talk about your brand new book. Jake Russell is with us at YSR. It is titled 100 Things National Fans Should Know and Do Before They Die. The foreword is written by Dusty Baker. Tell me about, as far as Dusty Baker, I mean, just having the opportunity to have him write the foreword, but the leadership that he is providing right now for the Washington Nationals, it's been huge.
Yeah, his personality, I think, is just what the team needed. And I don't think people necessarily knew that that's what they needed until about midway through last season when, you know, not to, you know, talk down about Matt Williams, who I like a lot and I think has a dearth of baseball knowledge and has so much more expertise than I ever will. I think he's also a great guy, but he was so stoic in, you know, pretty much everything they did. He was very, very mild-mannered, even-keeled. Dusty shows emotions whenever they hit a home run. He's just like a fan, essentially, in the dugout. And I think the players have responded to that very well. A little bit of personality, I think, is kind of what this team needed. And they're playing the clubhouse is a lot looser than it used to be, too. And that's showing so far early on.
Well, he is demonstrative in terms of his leadership and his personality. The other thing, too, is that you got to think of Jake is that he's managed some of the big-time stars in his major league career. I mean, he's going to have a big impact.
Oh, yeah, and he made that very clear in his introductory presser. He's like, I manage stars. I was a star. You know, not as big a star as Bryce Harper is, but people
right.
could see early on, you know, this guy's going to be a fun soundbite, even after every game. This guy, he's been around baseball almost his whole life. He knows what he's doing. And I think people didn't give him enough credit for his ability to adapt to the game. If he wasn't able to adapt to the game, I don't think he would have been hired, you know, as recently as 3-4 years ago by the Reds. He's showing early on that he knows what he's doing. He's willing to, you know, go with the times, as people say.
Well, he's going to be a fun soundbite as we talk about manager Dusty Baker. He wrote the foreword in the new book, 100 Things National Fans Should Know and Do Before They Die. Tell us about the book. What can they expect?
It's basically a comprehensive look at the history of D.C. baseball, going all the way back to the stadiums they had in the late 1800s and the early 1900s. It goes all the way from Walter Johnson to Bryce Harper. It has something in it for everybody. It chronicles all the important moments the last 11 years have shown for Nats fans, and it also goes back to some very interesting times for Senators fans that fans of this generation probably don't know about. That was kind of me going into this book. As I was doing the book, I was more and more disappointed in myself that I didn't know all these cool things about the Senators growing up, because as a kid, you know, the Nats weren't around for me, so my focus was more along the lines of the Orioles and the local minor league team in the area, the Bowie Bay Sox. The Senators weren't necessarily on my mind very much, but learning about the history of the city and the teams that were here, it was really cool to find out. And I hope a lot of people find something new once they read this book.
That, of course, was Jake Russell. And it is time to thank all of our amazing guests in our lineup right here at YSR, the Big East Sports Show. A big thank you to our friends at Basketball Insider, Steve Kyler and Tim Kirchen of ESPN. Go out and get a copy of his new book, I'm Fascinated by Sacrifice Flies. Duncan Hamilton, The Life of Eric Liddell from Olympic Champion to Modern Martyr. Andy Pondillo with our weekly MLB News and Notes. Bill Rabinowitz, Ohio State football beat writer for the Columbus Dispatch, and our very own Joe George. I'm Alyssa Walker-Campbell, encouraging you not to drink and drive. We'll see you next weekend for the biggest and the best in sports, right here at your network of choice, YSR.
Check engine, ABS, or maintenance light on? Take the guesswork out of your warning lights with O'Reilly Veriscan. The service is free and provides a report with solutions verified by ASE-certified master technicians. And if you need help, we could recommend a shop for you. Ask for O'Reilly Veriscan today.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
When you think boots, you think Ariat. You think comfort from day one and durability to day 1,000. You think steel toes on the job, square toes on the dance floor, with style that owns a Saturday night and still looks sharp enough for Sunday dinner. And through every mile and every moment, you're thinking Ariat boots. Boots that show up, stand out, turn bad ideas into better stories, and still punch the clock come Monday morning. Now, it's time to stop thinking and start shopping. Find your Ariat boots at Ariat.com or a retailer near you.
You really want to be better with your finances. You try to put money away in savings. You look for deals. You wrote out a budget once a long time ago. Yet you still overdraft from time to time and you still have debt. The truth is, managing money is not easy, but Rocket Money can help. Rocket Money shows you exactly what you're spending every month. From there, the app helps you make a budget that meets your financial goals. The app even gives you real-time alerts when you're about to go over your budget so you don't spend too much. With Rocket Money, you can also see all of your subscriptions at a glance and cancel the ones you don't want right from the app. Rocket Money can even try to get you a refund for some of the money you wasted. Plus, you can use the Smart Savings feature to start putting more money away. Rocket Money analyzes your accounts to determine the optimal time to stow away cash without going over your budget. Our members report that the Rocket Money app saved them more than $700 a year. Getting better with money doesn't have to be a pipe dream. Rocket Money can make it a reality. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play stores.